Well, how are y'all doing today? Good?
Excellent.
Good. Only one's doing excellent?
Quite well, thank you.
Okay. Did we all sleep in good this morning? Get out on the wrong side of the bed? No. Well, last week I talked about dreams and how God gives us dreams in our lives, and we have to have those dreams in our life to keep us going. What I want to talk to you that day is setting godly goals. Because once you figure out what the dream is for your life, God's dream for your life, because God has a specific dream for your life that's different than my life, okay? That's why you're out there and I'm up here. And so, you know, we have the different things. But once we get the dream, then we have to start looking at goals. Because, okay, when Scott was in California and I was going to go down to visit him, I had to know where I was going. Once I knew I was going to San Diego and La Jolla, then I knew how to set a goal to get there and how to get there and so on and so forth. And so we have to have godly dreams. And in Proverbs 10:6, it says, "The godly are showered with blessings by God."
Thank you, Lord.
And the thing of it is, when you read through the scriptures, okay, and you go through there and you study them, you will see time and time and time and time again where the scriptures talk about how God wants to shower us with blessings. Too often, we have this picture that God's this big old man sitting in the throne with a big beard just waiting to zap us for everything we do wrong. And that's not the way it is. You go through there, and yeah, God has boundaries, limitations, and so on. But God's not out to zap us. If he was, he wouldn't have sent Jesus. Okay? And so the scripture tells us that God wants to bless us, and he wants to bless godly people. So what I want to talk about is setting godly goals. Okay? Why do we need to set goals? So we know where we're going. We've had a little task force that's been meeting together. We've been looking at where we want to go as a congregation. And we've also been looking at how we're planning on getting where we're going to go. Now, that's as we get farther along in this, it's going to take a lot of you to make it all happen.
Amen.
Okay? Because it's not supposed to be the select few, you know, that go along there. So we set godly goals. And the first thing on that is godly goals give me hope.
Amen.
When I have a goal and a purpose for my life, it gives me hope. Now, the first scripture there is Job 6:11. And Job had a massive amounts of wealth. He had family. He had children, servants, camels, all these fun things that, you know, we pursue in life. And he lost it all in one day. They raided his land. They took all of his crops. A house fell in, killed his kids. The only thing that was left to him was a nagging wife. And she kept saying, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" She was a lot of help. And so Job had lost everything, and in Job 6:11 it says, "I do not have the strength to endure. I do not have a goal that encourages me to carry on. I don't have a reason to carry on in life." Have you ever known anybody like that? Have you ever been like that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just kind of get to that point and you go, "What is the use?" And there are all kinds of, we go through all kinds of losses in this world. Loss of loved ones, loss of jobs, loss of finances. And we could, you know, go down the list and probably each one of you could come up with something in your life that you've lost that gets you in that frame of mind. And that's a hard frame of mind. But when you have a godly goal, it gives you hope to move past that. Because it gives you a reason beyond what you're doing. And you know where you're going. And you realize that there's more to life than just this life. Okay? And so we need to know that. But also, when we get to know the nature of God, in Jeremiah 29:11, it says, "I know the plans." This is God talking, by the way. "I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." Plans to give you hope and a future. What it's saying is God has goals for your life. I know the plans. Plans, goals, you know, things like that. They switch the words around a little bit. But what it's saying is God has a plan for your life. And God says, I know what they are. And what the plans I have for you, if you walk in the plans I have for you and the goals I have for you, your life's going to be changed. You're going to have hope and you're going to have a future. And so you want to get into those things. And so God has the plans, but, you know, sometimes we don't always see them. We don't always see them. And without goals, we're just kind of coasting along. Just coasting along. Have you been coasting? Anybody coasting? Yeah. What's the problem with coasting? When you're coasting, you're going downhill. You don't coast on flat ground. It's usually a down thing. You're really not, you know, accomplishing anything, okay? And so the other thing about goals in this light is goals do not have to be huge. They don't have to be big. They can be little goals. Now, I work in a hospital, and one of the things that we do is we go around and we help take care of patients that have had surgery and other kinds of problems like that. Well, when people are going in for surgery, one of the things that they'll call me up and I'll go down and I'll talk to them before their surgery, and I will tell them what we expect of them after surgery. I'll show them how to use some of the equipment, and I'll tell them what to expect. Say, okay, you're going in for open-heart surgery, so when you come back from surgery, you're going to be asleep. You're going to be on this machine that I'm going to run, this breathe for you and keep you alive until you wake up. And as you start waking up, I'm going to start turning the machine down so you breathe more and more on your own. And when you get to a certain point where you can breathe on your own, then I'm going to pull that tube out of your throat, and you're going to breathe on your own. Now, I can tell you one thing. When you breathe on your own, it's going to hurt because we're going to cut your chest open from here to there. Now, this little device is going to be, you're going to use this little device, and you're going to breathe through this, and it's going to tell me how good you're doing. I want you to try it right now. So they take it, and they get it, and they whip that thing to the top. And it's like, okay, you can see you're hitting 2,500 right now. When you get back from surgery and I hand this to you, do you think you're going to hit 2,500? No. A few people do. But most hit 500, 750. And I tell them that. So you grab this and you take a big breath on it and you hit 750. What does that tell you? You've got a lot of work to do. And we're going to come around. We're going to bug you every 4 hours during the daytime and push you to get a little higher. And the nurses are going to do it. And you know what? Your wife is sitting right here, and she's going to bug you. Because you know what? She cares about you. And family member goes, yep, do. And when you get the family involved in the goal, they do it more. But we set little goals. When you get that tube out, the first thing we're going to do is we're going to sit you up. It's not going to be comfortable. Then we're going to sit you on the bed a little bit later. Then we're going to stand you beside the bed. We're going to put you in a chair and we're going to take you for a walk around the nursing station. Now, I've been at the hospital 37 years. Have things changed? Yeah. When I started there, if you had open heart surgery, you could count on being in the hospital for a good month. You'd come back from surgery and you'd be on that little machine that I run that breathes for you. You'd be on it for a good week. Paralyzed. Because they thought they had to let your heart muscle relax. And heal. And then we'd take you off the machine and you'd be around for a good month. If you had a gallbladder surgery, you'd be in there for a month. Or a week, I mean. Now, gallbladder surgery is done on an outpatient. You come in, have the surgery, go home. Open heart patients go home in 3 or 4 days. They come back. I start weaning them off the machine. We get them off there. We get them up, start walking them. Within about 6 hours, 8 hours, we've got them out of bed in a chair. They have chest tubes in their side that's filling, keeping the air out of their chest wall cavity. We got them up in a chair. We have goals for these people to accomplish. We know what they are. We tell them what they are. It's like God says, I have plans for you. We have plans for them. And we go in and we help them work with it. We let them know what those plans are. And they're not huge. What's the first one? We're going to get you off the machine by turning it down a breath at a time. Or 10 or whatever, depending on how good they're doing. So we have those goals that we set and we let them know what they are, okay? And, you know, one of the things that when things are bad and hard, you need to keep moving. And if you have a goal that's going to help you get through that, then that's going to help a lot. Some of you know who Kadosh was. How many of you know who Kadosh was? A couple, three of you. It was a singing group out of Long Beach. And they have a really song that we used to sing here once in a while. And it's called, If You're Going Through Hell, Don't Stop. And one of the lyrics says, if you're going through hell, if you're catching hell, don't hold it. Amen. And if you're going through hell, don't stop. But too often, when we get in those situations, we cling on to it. We have bad situations in our life, and we hang on to them with dear life. My father was abusive. Okay, how old are you? I'm 55. And you're still carrying that around? Is your father abusive now? No, he's dead. Okay, well, go stomp on his grave, whatever. You know, get over it. Get your goal past that, you know. It's like, if it's been years and you haven't done anything about it, guess what? You got a goal. Get rid of the baggage. Get rid of the garbage. Get God involved in it, okay? Second, godly goals focus my energy in life. Godly goals focus your energy in life. If you look in the front of your little brochure here, your little handout, okay, there's one of our goals as a congregation. One of our goals, Sacred Light of Christ Community Church, goal is to bring people to Jesus and membership in his family so that we're sitting here as a family, okay, develop them to Christ-like maturity, okay, and to equip them for their ministry in the church and in the community and their life's mission in the world. Some of you have life missions in the world. In fact, all of you do. You have a life's mission in the world. And in order to magnify God's name. That's one of our goals. It's right there in your bulletin every week, almost every week. Okay? Down at the bottom, our goal is to make Sacred Light of Christ the most spiritually empowering church in the area. So part of our goal is that when you walk in here, part of our goal is to introduce you to Jesus Christ, bring you to a relationship with God in such a way that you are spiritually empowered to walk your life stronger and healthier than you ever have before.
Amen.
That's part of our goal. You know? And that's it. And how do we do that? Here's one of the ways. Get you in the Word. Or, if you're really hungry, get you in the whole Word. Okay? This is the New Testament. This is the whole Bible. You know, Scripture tells us that, Paul wrote to some of the believers, and he says, by this time you ought to be feeding each other. You ought to be teaching, but you're still having to have milk. People say, give us meat. Here it is. Amen. You're probably sitting on one of them. Okay? Or you've moved it over to the side. Here's your banquet. Feast up. Okay? It's right there. Yeah, feed me, Seymour. Mm-hmm. Feed yourself. That's why we buy them. Okay? We give you a smorgasbord. There are 66 books in here written by 40 different authors. If you don't like the way one of them writes, go to another one. Okay? So it gives you, we have that goal. Secondly, it gives you the focus and energy of your life. And, the other part of that is you cannot do everything.
Amen.
Trust me, I try.
Amen.
I try. I'm one of those people that if I don't watch myself, I will try to do everything. And I'll rob you of the privilege of doing it. Okay, I'll be down there fixing the walls. I'll be flushing the toilets and washing the, printing everything up. And it's like, I have to let go because I realize I can't do everything and I'm not supposed to.
Amen.
Okay? Now, if you look around, the plants that are living, these are up here all fake, but downstairs, Diane keeps all the plants alive.
Yeah.
Huh? She does. She keeps them alive. They're beautiful. When I took care of them, it was like they were dying. Yeah, well, yeah. I brought my mother once down. She watered them, and then she even watered some of the ones up here. Mom was just a little off, okay? But it keeps us, and you can't do everything. You need to let other people do stuff. And in fact, we're supposed to. Each one of you has a shape. That's spiritual gifts, abilities, personality, a heart, a passion for stuff. Okay, we've talked about that before. You have your own unique shape to you, and God's supposed to use it. In 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul is talking about being focused. And he said, I do not run without a goal. I fight like a boxer who is hitting something, not just the air. Okay? One of the things, when Paul talks about being in a race, how many of you have ever been in races? Did you run, stuff like that? I mean, I hated that stuff. Okay? But one of the things about running a race, once you start the race, you do not get to determine the finish line. When that gun goes off, the finish line is set. You don't get to decide where it is. And you're not through with the race until you get to the finish line. And guess what? In this life, we don't get to determine the finish line. God does. And it's not over till I hit the floor. That's the finish line. It doesn't matter how old we get. We're not finished. I was at a conference down at the Christ Cathedral, and Bob Schuller got up and he says, I'm 70 years old. And he says, I'm doing this and this and this. And he says, you know what? He says, I have no plans for career advancement. But I went over to Palm Springs, and he says, I was going over to a friend there, and there was a golf course. And he says, I was going to play golf. And he says, then I realized, God doesn't care about my golf score. There are important things to do in life. And so you don't get to choose what they are. Okay? And the other part that you'll learn, how do you make to-do lists? Okay? You put 20 things on your to-do list. The most urgent things, 99.9% of the time, are not the most important. Something's urgent, but it's not the most important. Usually, if something's really important, 3 days later, it's going to be just as important. But the things that are urgent, they're not usually the one things that are most important in our lives, but they're the most pressing. And a lot of times it's because somebody else thinks they're important for you. Okay? And so, you know, like you go and if you watch like CNN, they have breaking news. It's like, okay, I really didn't need to know that. You know? So we have goals, but it helps you. It helps me focus my energy when I have a godly goal. Because I can start weeding out the things that are not important. Okay? Third, godly goals stretch my faith. If it's a godly goal, it's going to be bigger than you can handle.
Amen.
It's going to be bigger than you can handle. Okay? In Matthew 9:29, it says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Excuse me. Okay? So if you've never really set a goal that's beyond what you can do, you haven't stepped out in faith. Because when you set a goal beyond your abilities, it's a faith statement. I'm stepping out here in faith. It's more than I can handle. Because if it's not more than you can handle, it's not a godly goal. Because we're supposed to rely on God, not on our own abilities. If our goal for the congregation is to paint the bathroom, God's not going to send a construction contractor. Any of you can grab a paintbrush and slop on paint.
Amen.
Okay? Ephesians 3:20. God can do anything, you know, far more than you can ever imagine or guess or request in your wildest dreams. He does it not by pushing us around, but by working within us, his spirit deeply and gently within us. God working within us. And that's how it gets done. But we have to depend on God. And we need to set goals that are bigger than what we can do. Too often, you know, we let the size of our God determine what our goals are. And we have to realize that we can't do that. We put God in a little box. And God doesn't like a box. When Moses asked, Who shall I tell the people that sent me? God, what did God say? I am that I am. In other words, he says, don't put me in a little box. I'll be who and what I want to be. And you can't contain it. Okay? And Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. And the next one says in Romans 14:23, everything that does not come from faith is sin. When you read through this, you'll find that when God talks about sin, it's something that has to do with not trusting him, not giving him honor, not giving him glory. Yeah. When you turn to something else, when you look in this, it's about not having faith, not trusting. That's the sin. That's the sin. Oh, but you've fallen down so many times. So what? God's there to help you back up. Oh, but you don't know what I've done in my life. Yeah, God does. I don't need to know. God does. And that's what Jesus Christ came and took care of. The movie we watched the other night, Saving God. The preacher in there had killed somebody. That's pretty heavy duty. But he found God's grace and God's repentance. And it changed his life. But faith is the sin that is the hardest. Because God can't work with you if you don't have any faith. If you don't, what scripture says, if you don't believe God exists and wants to help you, he can't. Okay? And fourth, godly goals build my character. Godly goals build your character. So why do we set goals? Because while you're working on the goal that God has set for your life, and by the way, God sets a goal for your life, okay? And so while you're working on that goal that God gives you for your life, God's working on you, building your character. And we often say, well, God loves me just like I am. Well, of course he does. But he doesn't want you to stay the way you are. He wants to build your character, help you be stronger and better. Now, we don't get that confused with worldly stuff, because worldly stuff is for the here and now. And eternal stuff, when we get past this point, the whole focus changes, doesn't it? Because we're there. You know, the scriptures tell us to put on the full armor of God. For where? For now. For this time, for this life. Because you know what? Once you drop dead and you get to the other side of things, do you need that armor? No. Satan ain't going to be there shooting fiery darts at you.
Yay.
Satan's not going to be there trying to whack you on the head. So you need that armor for now. And God gives it to you. We need a lot of the things that for this life that prepare us for the next. Amen. And we're going to move on to the next. And once you realize that this is the time of, we're going to come to that finish line. We're going to come to that finish line. And we're preparing for the next one, that next life. We're not preparing for now. I mean, we're handling now with God's power, but God's preparing us for something beyond what we're doing. In fact, God's goal is to build us up spiritually. So that we act like, talk like, think like, walk like Jesus Christ. So that we walk like and act like Jesus. Yeah, we worked the other day and yesterday, and some comments were made, and it's like, oh, I'm trying to be more Christ-like. It's not working very well today. And we have our days like that, don't we? But the other times, we grow. Okay, so God's working us. So we're supposed to act like and feel like Jesus. But you know what? It's not automatic. It's not automatic. How many of you grew up in a situation where foul language was used all the time? I did. Oh, I had the mouth of a sailor. And so did my sister. I have to watch my mouth. Because when my temper gets... I don't say nice things. It's not automatic. It takes time. I've told a lot of you before, but I have a temper. Not like I used to, but it used to blow. My little brother, 4 years younger than me, he knew he could get me mad. He also knew he could outrun me. Anybody can outrun me. You know, doesn't take much to outrun me. But I learned he couldn't outrun a rock. Or a stick. Or an arrow. Or a car. I almost killed my little brother a couple of times. And I realized that I had to learn to control my temper. Or I was really going to... One day I would kill him. I broke his nose one day. You know? And it took time, but I got past that. Do I still have a temper? Ask God. He'll tell you. Yeah. Sometimes it blows. You don't want to be around. It only lasts for seconds. But you don't like it. Because dynamite only takes seconds to blow up. But the damage can be awful. Okay? So we don't become like Jesus Christ just overnight by blinking. It's a process. Okay? Proverbs 11:20 says, if your goals are good, you will be respected. But if you are looking for trouble, that is what you'll get. If we have godly goals, people will respect you for it. But if you're looking for trouble, it says that's what you'll get. And we see that all the time. Okay? Proverbs 15:19. The conduct of the wicked is abhorrent to God. I can't read that one as my brain won't process that word. But he loves the people whose goal is righteousness. Okay? One of the things we have to also have to watch is we tend to overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can do in 10. I overestimate what I can do in a daytime, in one single day. And do you ever have those days when you have a goal set and you're out there and you're going to do it and you come to the end of the day and you go, geez, did I do anything today? Did I get anything done? Have those days? Yeah. Okay. So we tend to overestimate what we're going to do. And, you know, the other thing we need to watch is not every goal we set is a godly goal. Amen. There are worldly goals and there are godly goals. So what's the difference? Okay. That's what I want to talk about next. Okay. Godly goals, they're based on God's purpose for me. They're based on God's purpose for my life. That's why we go through the 301 class. You do spiritual gift surveys. You do personality surveys. You look at different things. That's when you discover your shape. You discover what your spiritual gifts are. Okay? That's what you discover what your abilities are. And the H-A-P, personality. Oh, I forgot the H, the heart. What do you have a heart for? Your passion. You know, you want to save the whales. Other people go, kill them, let's eat them. You know, so we have to figure out what our personality is, what our passion is. our God-given passion, and what experience we've had, and combined it all together, and that's how we can see where God's going to take us. And then in that prayer life, you go that way, okay? And so you find out what that is. And when you pray, are you asking God to bless what you want to do, or are you asking God to show you his plan and his purpose and his goals? Okay. A lot of times we decide what we want to do and we say, oh, God, bless us and, you know, this, that, and the other. It's like God's a vending machine. We're putting in the quarter of prayer and expecting the... But really, we need to be saying, God, what is your goal for my life? Is it to be a millionaire? Is it to work in the poor? Is it to be a Mother Teresa? Yeah. Well, you know, you say you're a millionaire. That'll work, yeah. But... maybe it won't. You'll have $1 million, you'll have a nice house, you'll have a nice car, but it screws up your life really bad. How many rich people do we hear about whose lives are really a mess? Okay? So we want to look at, you know, that and look for God's answer. And the thing of it is, it's just that easy. All you have to do is ask. You know, all you have to do is ask. Ask and you will receive. Knock and the door will be opened. Okay? And so, you know, one of the things of God's purpose in our life is, like I said, is to know who God is, to do what God wants, to serve, to share God with other people. Because it's all about love. Okay? In 1 Corinthians 9:26, Paul says, I run straight for the goal with the purpose in every step. I run straight for the goal with purpose in every step. Okay? And again, one of the things you have to notice is that we don't get to set the finish line. God does. But the other part of that is when you run a race, it has to be done one step at a time. You don't get to stand here and be at the finish line like that. You have to do it a step at a time. And so when you get those goals and the godly goals, you start out and the finish line is down the road. This church didn't all of a sudden just spring and come into being and have, you know, all of things it has now. We've been in this valley since 1972. Ups and downs, roller coasters. Oh, Satan has a great time sometimes. Okay? But this church has met in different houses, different apartments, different things like that, different buildings. And we've been in this building since 1986. So we paid it off about 4 years ago. Yeah. And so God's good. When we first moved in here, there were theater seats with the numbers on the arms and the chairs, assigned seating. Jesse, you're in B24. Yeah. And they were terrible. Yeah, I mean, some of them had springs that got you. Yeah. And we were praying about it. What do you want us to do? Somebody walked into DI one day, and they had 150 of these chairs. $10 a shot. We said, we'll give you eight for 100. $8 a piece if we take 100 of them. And they said, okay. So you're sitting on an $8 chair. Now, they're starting to wear out. Look, this one has... But that's been over 12 years ago. A lot of things have changed. It's a step at a time. And God's going to give you a goal, and you can only do it a step at a time. Okay? Sometimes when God gives you the answer, it's direct. How many of you ever actually heard God speak to you? Yeah. Other times, it's through the Word. It's through the Word. I've heard God speak to me about 4 times. But I can actually say, yeah, that was it. Okay? In John 14:28, Jesus said, Father, the Father is the goal and the purpose of my life. That's by the Message. Jesus said, I don't pass on what's mine. I pass on what I hear from God. I pass on what I hear from the Father. Okay? 2 Corinthians 10:13, our goal is to stay within the boundaries of God's plan for us. Our goal is to stay within the boundaries of God's plan for us. What that's saying is, God's going to give you a plan. And one of the distractions, there's a lot of distractions. Have you ever get distracted? I get distracted. Oh, gosh, you know. I walk in a room, and the TV's on, and my brain is like...
What was I doing?
You know, I'd be down in California with Scott and his mom, and we'd be sitting there, and the TV would be on. Scott says, you're the only person I know that... Scott, when the commercials come on, he mutes them. He says, you're the only person I know that'll watch television when the sound's not on. And it's like, I get distracted by everything. And we have to watch distractions. And sometimes, one of the worst distractions we can have is somebody else's goal when they're successful. Because I can walk down the hall and I go, oh, you know, Summer's doing movie night and it's really successful. I ought to be doing that too. So she's having it on Thursday. I'm going to have mine on Wednesday. No. But we can do that with people around us. We can look at other people, how successful they are, and think we need to be doing what they're doing. Well, now, if it's scripture study, yeah, okay, good. Go for it. If it's prayer, yeah, go for it. If it's praising God, yeah, go for it. But if your ministry is taking care of the poor, or Kay's ministry is taking care of the poor, that doesn't mean God's going to have the same ministry for me. Or for Gary. Kay's taking care of the poor. Gary's supposed to be fixing the walls downstairs. Jay's supposed to be cleaning the building. Chris is supposed to be doing the computer work. Brandy's supposed to be leading the prayer group. We're supposed to have Sean and the praise team up here. My goal is not your goal. Your goal is not mine. God's going to have a goal for each one of you that's unique for you. Okay? In Ephesians 4:1, Paul said, I am in prison because I belong to the Lord. And God also called you to be his people so I urge you to be to live a life which is God, live the life which God called you. Paul says, I'm in prison. But you live the life God called you to. This is what God called me to. So go take the message to the Gentiles. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. You do what God called you to do. The second thing about godly goals is they aim to bring glory to God. Worldly goals bring glory to me. Donald Trump brings glory to Donald Trump. If you've watched The Apprentice, nobody's more impressed with Donald Trump than Donald Trump. Okay? Worldly goals bring glory to worldly things. And so when it's a godly goal, it brings glory to God. 2 Corinthians 10:31, whatever you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Okay? So when you're doing something, first you got to have the right attitude about it. And then you got to have the right motivation. Now, it doesn't take this to bring glory to God. You can bring glory to God doing anything. Washing dishes can bring glory to God. What? It's your attitude. You're praising God that you are washing dishes. You're praising God that you have dishes to wash. That you have water to wash them with and soap in the water. And you're praising God that you even have food to put on the place to get them dirty in the first place. Amen. Praise God that you've got clothes to wear. A clothes washer to wash them with. Praise God, you got a chair to sit on. We could be sitting on the floors. It'd be okay. But, you know, we can look at everything in our lives and we can bring God honor to God by praising God for what we have, recognizing what we have. But too often it's really easy not to. It's really easy not to. And we've got to have the right motive behind what we're doing. You know, we got to have that right motive. If I'm standing up here talking about this because I want you to be impressed with me, yeah, forget it. Yeah, my motive is wrong. And you know what? One of the things that just kills me about this community is how many people have turned away from God. They got hurt by a church and they turned their back on God, blaming God for the stupidity of somebody else. You know, I'm not perfect. I'm going to say the wrong things. And you just, if I say something that hurts somebody and they turn away from God because of me, that would just kill me. Get mad at me, smack me, hit me, walk away from me, yes, but don't turn your back on God. Amen. And you know, that's my motivation when I was thinking about this. My motivation is the people in our community that are hurt, who walk away and who don't talk to God anymore, and they don't affiliate with God because somebody else hurt them. And that's what, you know, when I look at you all, you know, I pray that when you walk out that door, that everybody that you run into, you're going to share with them how much God loves you. And how much God loves them. And how much God has a purpose for their life. And how God has a dream for their life. God wants to do things in their life. And have that relationship and that connection. And let them know how passionate God is about that. And how passionate you are about it. Amen. I mean, Kay and Karina went off to Taiwan last year. So we could be impressed. No. Through EMI, they have missionaries in Taiwan, they have missionaries in Mexico, they have missionaries in Africa and Australia. Not to impress, but because there's people there that need to know God's love. And you know, it's not just EMI. You look at churches at different, I mean, I've been studying stuff, and Saddleback has a peace plan where they send people off to educate and take care of and heal diseases and all kinds of stuff. I've been listening to a book on tape where they talk about taking care of the poor in other countries. Getting outside of ourselves and reaching other people. That's why this little brochure has that part in the front. Our goal is to bring people to Jesus. Membership in his family. Develop them to Christ-like maturity. Equip them for their ministry in the church and their life's mission in the world in order to magnify God. It's to bring glory and honor to God, not me or you. Because if you're after the glory, go be Donald Trump. Don't get in God's way. Sorry, off on a rampage. Whatever you eat or drink, and whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. Because everything we do in our life, if it's done with the right attitude and the right motivation, can be done for the glory of God, even having sex. Oh, amen. My gosh. Okay? Okay? But the thing is, when we're in that relationship, we've got to listen to what God's saying. And I can tell you, if what you are hearing is destructive to somebody else, it's not God. Amen. Okay? Because it's done out of, well, that's the next one. They are motivated by love. If it's a godly goal, it's motivated by love. Love for God and love for other people. Amen. Love for other people. When you love other people, you want the best for them. And you know what? You may not even know them. There are some of you sitting here. I've seen your faces and I've talked to you, said hi. Maybe got your name wrong 5 or 6 times. What's your name again? That's one of my quirks, okay? But, you know, it doesn't matter how well I know you. I have a love for you. A love for you that, you know, says I want the best for you. Okay? And so it's motivated by love. Even Kelly. I love Kelly. You know, I give Kelly a lot of flack. You know, she tries to hug me and I run. Climb over the chairs to get away. You know, I pick on her a lot, but I love her dearly. If I didn't, I wouldn't pick on her. Yeah, and that's a quirk about me. That sometimes I hurt people's feelings because they don't know that I care that much. Okay? But I pick on Kelly. I love her in spite of her. No. You know? Even if she does stand up at the wrong times and raise those hands in the air and block my vision of the screen. You know? But yeah, that's it. I can move. Okay? 1 Corinthians 14:1, let love be your highest goal. Okay? Love for God, love for others. Be motivated by love for others. And many of you do that. I mean, I see you doing it all the time. Cleaning, computer work, whatever, yard work, singing, dancing, you know, whatever. I mean, I see it all the time. And it just tickles me spitless. But I want to see more. Amen. Now, we're finishing off a room downstairs. We've been working on it. Chris and I and some other people have been working on this room downstairs for the last month, driving us nuts. We got the bathroom done, but you can't get to it because the room's a mess. You can climb over all the junk, but it's getting close. But you know what? It's just a room. If we don't use it for anything, it's just a waste of time. And when we do use it, if it's not motivated by love, it's a waste of time. Amen. But guess what? We're making a classroom out of it. So that you all can teach classes in there.
Amen.
Okay? Not my job. Not my job. I'll teach some of the classes, yeah. But guess what? We're going to start sharing the blessings. You get to teach some of the classes, okay? Motivated by love. Philippians 3:8-11. Oh, my eyeballs are not reading very well right now. Because of the supreme advantage of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, I count everything else a loss, so that I may come to know him and the power of his resurrection and partake of his suffering, striving toward the goal of resurrection from the dead. Part of that one we don't like. That part about his suffering. Partake of his suffering. Sometimes we think we have to suffer. No. We partake of his suffering. He died on the cross for us. We get to partake of that blessing. Amen. We get to take it into our life. We get to walk in the freedom. When you have a godly goal, it gives you freedom. It gives you freedom. It gives you freedom to mess up. It gives you freedom to mess up. Yeah. But it gives you a freedom. Now, every week, we have worship through giving. And somebody comes up here, and they stand here, and they tell you about whatever God puts on their heart. Just so we can get your money. Wrong. I learned years ago, finances are not my responsibility. Amen. If this is going to work, it's God's responsibility. Amen. So we can stand up here and say, hickory dickory dock, the mouse ran up the clock. Pass the plates. We can say nothing. We can just say, hey, guess what? It's time to worship through giving. Enjoy it. There's a church in England, when they come to worship through giving, there's hooting and hollering and screaming and yelling and going on in there during that time. It's a celebration. Because that's exactly it. It's worship through giving. And that's the way it needs to be. Not one of those begrudging things. And so Paul's saying, you know, all the other stuff in life, it's a loss. Because you're not going to take your house with you. Jesus is up there already making one. Or made it for you. You just get to go live in it. Amen. It's like when we were looking for the house, Kathy called him a plug and play. It's been redone, it's been painted, the new carpet and everything's ready. You just need to move in. You don't have to do anything. Scott and I got a used model. we have to fix everything up. But that's okay. Because it's ours. Thank God. Okay? But when you learn that there's more to life than just this life, it changes your motivation. It changes your motivation. And when you learn and you get it in here about how much God cares about you and all of us, it changes your motivation. And the selfishness goes away. Not completely. I'm human, and so are you. Okay? But you start loving. You know, the other thing, though, we need to watch is when you, if you start loving your goals more than other people, you'll start using other people to get your goals. And we see that in the business world. We see that in the business world. 1 John 4:12, no one has ever seen God, but if we love each other, God lives in us, and God's love has reached its goal. When we love other people and we start living that way, God starts working and coming through. And you start reaching out. The fourth thing, godly goals are achieved by God's power. Amen. Not yours. Not yours. Galatians 3:3. Are you so foolish after beginning with the Spirit? Are you now trying to attain your goals by human efforts? Anybody here not human? Okay. Oh, one back there. Okay. Now, I don't want to ask what you are, but, you know. Yeah. I mean, we're all human, and we can't make it by human efforts. God's got to give you the strength to do it. And there's days when I am so tired, it's like I just want to lay on the floor and go to sleep. And sometimes I have. Because I'm trying to do it by human efforts. Amen. And it makes me tired. And in those times, the best thing you can do is go take a nap. Because we're just spinning your wheels. Take a nap. Proverbs 16:9. We plan the way we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. We plan how we want to live, but only God makes us able to live it. Okay? James 4:15. You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. So you ought to say, if it's the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. Amen. We don't know where the finish line is. We don't know where the finish line is. And that scripture goes on and says, foolish person, you're going off to do this, that, and the other, and you don't know that tomorrow is your time's up. And everything you have is going to go to somebody else. Okay? Zechariah 4:6. You will not succeed by your own strength or power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. We get fat-headed. And I think that's one of the things that Donald Trump has, is fat-headed. He attributes his all to himself. And that happens. Proverbs 3:5-6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will direct your paths. We have goals. We have dreams. As a congregation and individually. We have goals as a congregation. We haven't always tied into them. We haven't always felt we're a part of them. But we're working on it. Because part of that is mine. Because I, like I told you, I try and get into that mode where I try and do everything. And it's like, no. I can't. I'm not supposed to. And neither are you. But you're supposed to do your part. And guess what? You get to find out what that is. People will sometimes say, well, what's God's purpose for my life? And I say, I don't know. Ask God. I don't have a direct line. for you. I do for me. You have your own. God's got a dream for your life. Figure out what it is. And you do that by asking, God, what's your dream? What's your will for my life? And then you say, now, God, give me the strength to do this. Because I can't. I try. I can't. And you know what? You'll get out into deep water sometimes. That's okay. I used to have a set of shells. How many of you saw my shell game? Okay. Years ago, I went to San Francisco on one of my God trips. And I went to the beach, and I'm walking down the beach, and I see people collecting shells. And I thought, oh, well, I want to do that. So I'm walking along, and find this little shell about that big. It's a cute little shell. But I walk along, and I found another one, a little bit bigger. And then I saw some people out there in the water, and they're collecting shells. So I take my shoes off. I got my shorts on. And I'm walking in the water, and I get out there, and it's about here. I find a little bit bigger shell. I went out a little farther, and it got up about here. A little bit bigger shell. And the water's starting to hit my pants, and I found a good size shell like that. And then I came to the spot where it was really calm. I thought, wow, I can get out there a long ways now. I didn't find one shell, not one. And the Spirit says, what do you get from this? And it's like, I'm wet. And it's like, no, you've got to get into the deeper water for the things that are more valuable. Amen. You want a bigger shell, you have to get it in the deeper water. You have to get into a little bit of turbulence. You can't have it just comfortable. Because if you're comfortable, it's not godly. Paul wasn't comfortable. He was compelled to go and do. And he always said, by God's strength and by God's will. So find out what your dream is. And then get on your knees, get some godly goals that only God can reach through you. Because like the scripture said, what God's Spirit is in you, working in you. Gently. Not pushing you around, but loving. Would you pray with me? Loving God, we thank you that you care enough about us to give us dreams. That you care about us enough to help us get goals, your kind of goals in life. And Lord, you give us the strength to do what you ask us to do. And that's the cool part, Lord. You tell us what to do. You give us the ability. All we have to do is trust you to do it. So we thank you. Give us the strength. Like the word said, Lord, with the guy brought his son to the disciples, they couldn't heal him. And the guy says, if you can do anything, Lord, help us to realize that you can do everything. And you do it through us. In Jesus' name, amen.